It's WKXL in the morning on 1450 AM, 103.9 FM at NHTalkRadio.com. I'm your host, AJ Kierstead, doing something a little bit different this week. I'm still, last week we had New Hampshire Business Review, which joins us every other week, but on this off week, I figured it'd be great to talk with Matt Robeson, who's one half of Beyond Politics, which you can listen to Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m. on WKXL, as well as periodically on WKXL in the morning. Welcome to a more specific WKXL in the morning appearance.
Well, thanks. Great to have me.
Yes. Great
to have, you know, I'm so used to being the host.
I know, it messes with it.
That I'm welcoming myself onto your show. That's how deep I've gotten into the radio hosting persona.
We've ruined people.
I'm very glad to be hosting myself with you.
So I wanted to have you on specifically to talk about an article you wrote that was posted on the editorial board on why we can't quit polling. And polling definitely has been in the headlines since, I'd say that it really came to attention in the second Obama presidency campaign, and then definitely with Trump and Hillary, the disaster that was. And what's the case you're making with this article?
Basically, that we need to question all of our assumptions when it comes to polling that we see in the media. And look, I like polls. I like citing statistics and evidence. It makes you sound smart. Everyone likes to do that. 4 out of 5 people say that they like to do that in casual conversation. And you know, as a radio host, that there's nothing that enlivens a point you're making more than saying, you know, there's a recent poll that shows that 78% of Americans agree with me. Wow, that sounds pretty powerful. But the reality is, we don't question enough what we're seeing in polling. And a political scientist at MIT did a review of all of the studies, all of the scholarship that's out there in 2017. And found that there's actually no agreement among political scientists about how to measure public opinion using polls, and that trying to get a handle on measuring public opinion through polls is kind of like trying to come to grips with the Holy Ghost. It's a worthwhile pursuit, but one that we're kidding ourselves if we think we're doing with any accuracy.
This has been the big thing that's definitely stood out, especially with political-based surveys, where it very much is based around how the question is phrased and the implications that are built into the way it's phrased. Like, if I had to give this is the prime example of issues in polling when it comes to politics, is the abortion question. It's very much I always get it thrown at me, a majority of people support abortion. That's a very broad way of phrasing an issue that's very nuanced. Like, are they talking about late-term abortion? Are they talking about up until the heartbeat? Are they talking up until the first trimester? So to say that a majority of people support abortion doesn't give you any useful information if you're trying to make a policy decision.
That's a great example. It's a perfect example. It's very similar to the one that I chose in the article, which was about marijuana. But we could take yours just to spitball from it. And if you really look across, which is the way you have to do it, you have to look at multiple surveys over time.
Yeah.
You have to see how the question phrased the same way, done by the same survey researcher. So you're using the same methods. So you're being consistent. You have to see how that evolves. And then you have to test it across different surveys. So what do you find when you do that and you take a step back? What you find on abortion is that the answer is very slippery. It is true that the majority of Americans, when surveyed, say that they support abortion under some circumstances, at least. Some Americans say that they support abortion all the time. They support no restrictions on it. Some Americans say, well, we support the current Roe v. Wade standard, right, which is up to the third trimester. Some say, well, we support it in certain dire circumstances. But you also find that there are some Americans who say, we never support it under any circumstances, or who say we believe that there should be greater restrictions. And so it's exactly what you're saying. And what you find is that that same idea is true of all kinds of issues that we study in America. I'll give you a very simple example. Pew, which is one of the most widely cited and respected research institutions out there on American opinions, has found that you can change, you can significantly change what it looks like Americans are saying by adding just one word to a survey. Last year, they did a survey and they said, are jobs easy to find near you? And they found that Americans were pretty split. It was about a 50-50 split. When you add one word, if you say good jobs,
yeah,
then it's a 27-point gap. Now, in today's American politics, a 27-point gap on something is massive. It's a landslide. So you get a very, very different impression of what Americans actually think. My proposition in the article is that we're looking at what we think Americans think through this super cloudy lens. Cloudy viewing leads to cloudy thinking, and that leads to murky politics, and that's where we're at.
Yeah, because speak to this a little bit, just because you're a lot more experienced on it, but what sort of ways are these results of polls utilized by people in the political realm?
Well, I want to draw a very careful distinction here. When we talk of the political realm, there's many different entities and actors and people involved, right? I don't mean actors, like sometimes literally like Matthew McConaughey is thinking of running for governor of Texas. I mean, like, you know, people trying to accomplish things in politics.
And so they're ranging in all sorts of levels of partisanship or not.
All sorts of levels of partisanship and all levels of politics, right? You've got local and state and national. But for the most part, the way that polls are conducted in political campaigns specifically, slightly different than the types of public surveys that we see. Both of them are subject to problems, and both of them are misused. The one that's sort of publicly available that is misused, and the way this plays out, is the kind of thing. So 2 years ago, there was, during the height of the Democratic presidential primary, you saw a public discussion going on, being waged by progressives, mostly around core planks of sort of what you might call the progressive vision for America, the Green New Deal, and Medicare for all, and free college for all. And they would cite polls like we all do, right? That's the best evidence we could get. 80% of Americans supported the Green New Deal. Holy smokes, really? 80%. 70% of Americans supported Medicare for all, including 52% of Republicans. So free college for all, 60%. So you hear that and it changes your thinking about, well, what's a smart political strategy? What do Americans really want deep down? But this is an illusion. It's a mirage, because the same polls, if you dig down, find that, hey, support for Medicare for all goes down to 48%. If you just tell voters, remember that one word I said, good jobs versus jobs? So you just add a tiny piece of information, which, by the way, in the real world, of course, if you're talking about Medicare for all, it's going to come up that it might raise taxes. Yeah. So if you just mention to voters, you know, this might raise taxes, support drops from 70% to 48%, 22 points, that's a lot. And then if you say, you know, that's the same thing as single payer, it's like the government kind of runs all of healthcare, support drops to 34%. So what's the right answer? What do Americans really think? It's just like your abortion example. It really depends on context, wording. And my point is that it's not that all surveys are bunk. It's not that they're all worthless. Right. It's that we have to be much, much more intelligent consumers of information about them. Otherwise, we go wildly astray in this issue of what Americans really think, and therefore, what policies should we pursue? What do Americans want? This is a democracy, right? Yeah. We have to know what Americans want in order to be able to govern ourselves. Well, if we're all off base on that, we're going to end up with horrible answers to the question.
And even more problematic with that, we're a republic where we don't necessarily vote on everything in a theoretical true democracy where everyone would on a daily basis be going, yes, I support this, I don't support this, which is the whole reason why the founding fathers didn't think that was a good idea is because of the mob mentality issue that you find with a full-on democracy, which ended up causing lots of problems in history if you look at Greece and such. But
Look, can I build on your point for a second? Yeah. This is something you're only going to get on the WKXL morning show that you will not get reading the article because it was already longer than, I mean, I made it intentionally a deep dive. It's a little longer than my editor normally likes to run, but I thought that the topic deserved it.
Yeah.
But you're making an incredible point right now, which is we are a republic, which means we vote for elected representatives and they're trying to figure out what we want. So how are they doing it?
Yeah.
Right. Well, they talk to people, but they also are relying on polls.
Right.
And so there's two problems here. One is our politicians have a cloudy idea of what their constituents, their voters want. The other problem is this is why I've always been against ballot initiatives. I've always been against what advocates call direct democracy. If you live in California, you know, where the ballot is like 20 pages long and they ask a lot of referenda questions. Well, it's the same problem.
Yeah.
It's all in how you word it and the context. And you think that voters are able to express what they really want, but it's all skewed. And that it's a terrible system for. So there's a whole other aspect to this, which is why referenda are so dangerous and so tricky.
Yeah, and we, going off of polls when it comes to how politicians make decisions also, I mean, the something that stands out to me in current news is the infrastructure bill and everything. Kyrsten Sinema is receiving all sorts of pushback by the mainstream media, primarily on the left, that she's just flaking out on the progressives in the party. Meanwhile, looking at the polls that she's seeing of her support in Arizona, she's doing great. I mean, she's no problems right now. And that's, if she's smart, that's driving her decisions like, I'm doing the right thing for the people of my state.
Well, precisely. And this is, look, conservatives fall into this trap too. I'm going to I'm a Democrat, so I'm going to pick on my own. You know how you can kind of talk smack about your own family in a way that you don't want other people to? I'm going to talk smack about my own family. Let me talk smack about progressives for just a second here. I love them. Yet, it is worth pointing out that this is the precise problem that we run into with public opinion surveys and polling is that it gets into the hands of advocates and they will, in all credulity, with a straight face, they'll say, hey, look, 80% of Americans support the Green New Deal. You know, so many Americans support what's in this package. And so they, again, with all credulity, they make the argument, hey, Kyrsten Sinema, you're acting against the interests and what your own voters actually want. And it begins to make it seem like these senators are out of step with their own constituents and voters, whereas the reality is the tools we're using to understand what voters want are skewed and they're not telling us a straight story.
And it's kind of the nationalism problem of absolutely everything also, where everyone, especially when you're talking Congress, they expect, hey, the people in New York want this abortion law to be going through, but the people in the Midwest, they don't feel the same way. But the numbers, you still look at the percentages across the country, which, in my opinion, as someone that's I believe compromise is the best way to handle the legislation on everything. That's wrong. I mean, and that leads people to become more and more polarized to what's going on when it really should be a bit of back and forth.
Right. And it does kind of lead to this effect that you're talking about where we misapprehend what voters want. And we look at things, look, if you're a hammer, everything looks like a nail.
Yeah.
And if you are someone who feels passionately about climate for example, then you're going to be able to find statistics, especially through polling, that supports your worldview. Well, that's what happens when a lot of these surveys are released into the wild, right? Most public opinion researchers themselves put in a ton of technical context when they release a poll. They'll put right in the fine print, you know, here's all the disclaimers, here's all the ways you should use this, here's how you should understand it, here's the specific question. And they know if you, I know that pollsters, look, I had Jill Biden's lead pollster on Beyond Politics last year, and he's a friend. Like, I know he's going to be angry at me for this article because it seems like I'm, you know, kind of laying some smack on the entire polling industry. I'm not. I think if under truth serum, pollsters would tell you, you know, we're actually pretty careful about this stuff. We're aware of the limitations. And what happens is when it gets outside the context of what we're doing as experts, it's when it gets into the hands of non-experts that they misunderstand it and misuse it. And that's a problem. I'm just suggesting to people through this article, you really need to be much more cautious about this, because once we get outside the context of what the professionals are trying to achieve and measure, you're probably misreading what the poll is telling you.
And it's very important to consider what polling agency or organization put it together, because that's often going to be one-sided or another. I mean, the prime example that comes to mind for me are, we always hear about this, the CNN poll says this, the Fox News poll says that. There's going to be an inherent audience that's going to be leaning a certain way that's going to be listening to those organizations. Fox News, you're going to get people that are more right-leaning or likely going to be filling it out. And if it's CNN, it's definitely going to be someone on the left that's going to be filling it out. And
absolutely. Well, listen, I mean, if you go to a website like 538, I don't expect all of our listeners here to be nerds like I am. But, you know, nerds like to go to 538 and kind of dig into it. And what right. 538 does is it kind of mushes together all of the things you're talking about with different pollsters into what it calls house effects. It sounds like Kid and Play from back in the 90s, like, oh, house music, I like that. No. This is what they're talking about, is each individual polling outfit has their own secret sauce on how they do it. And it tends to be kind of consistent. And some of them will make mistakes in one direction consistently. Some will make mistakes in the other direction consistently. And so they try and take that into account when they look at what they're getting from these pollsters. But of course, the rest of us don't know that for sure. But it's true. Each polling outfit has its own method. And look, I mean, off the record, any pollster will tell you that they apply their own, what they call, what one pollster once told me is their secret sauce. It's not as delicious as what goes on a Big Mac, I promise you. When they do a poll, all kinds of weighting and statistical trims that they do
to try and make results
right. Right. And you have to do those things. You have to do those things to get something that's statistically valid, but you just don't know what's in the secret sauce.
Yeah, and if you see an article that is referencing a poll, definitely click on that poll. If they're not linking to where that data is coming from, I wouldn't trust it personally. And it seems like a lot more of the legitimate polling agencies will at least put an abstract at the top saying, this is basically what we were looking for, and these were the key concepts we considered when putting it together.
Well, that's great advice. And I mean, the other thing I would say in the way of practical advice to people is just buyer beware on all the information you're consuming. It's like any other information you get. Just because it comes with a strong sounding number doesn't mean it's valid. You know, just consider, is this a result that's pretty consistent over time? Is it a result that comes from a really reputable polling agent? And what are they saying about it? And, you know, is the person who's relaying this number, are they kind of doing it in good faith, or are they advancing an argument? Just take a step back and a deep breath when you hear polling numbers. And, you know, it's not that they're all wrong. It's that context matters.
Matt Robeson, co-host of Beyond Politics, which you can listen to Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m. right here on WKXL. I will link this article in the podcast version of the show if you check out nhtalkradio.com. You're listening to WKXL in the morning.